contending earnestly for the faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are continuing our study in Revelation chapter 3 of the church in Sardis. We're going to conclude that today. But you know, as troubled as this church was, even though they appeared so alive with a great name, they were dead. It's amazing how our Lord calls them back to being a faithful church. And one of the first things he says in verse 2 is, wake up. This is very important as a church. You know, I think of the disciples when Jesus was in the garden and they were sleeping. And often we don't even realize it, but all throughout the scriptures are calls for us to wake up. Wake up. Now is the high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, Jesus tells them how to wake up. He tells them to strengthen what remains. There was something in this church that remained. If a church is dead, what remains? Well, Jesus says, you have the responsibility to strengthen it. If he's talking to the pastor, which I believe he is, what needs to be strengthened? It's interesting in verse 4 that he says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, this is an amazing verse. That even in a church that is considered dead, the Lord still has his people there. We need to remember this, that even when a church is as bad as we think it can get, the Lord may still have his people in that body. There's always a remnant according to the election of grace. This is very important. When Jesus criticized a church, he was doing it for a reason. The study of these churches is not just a church bash. The study of the churches is to confront sin with the goal that they would repent and turn to the Lord and become faithful churches. He cared very deeply for his people. And so when we look around and say, oh, the church is so bad today, which I know I'm prone to, and all the churches are apostate, and we begin to take the Elijah mentality that we're the last 7,000 that have not bowed down the knee to Baal, even in those churches that are dead, Christ has a remnant. What an encouragement to the members that when the church is a mess, to help the weak and often discourage brothers and sisters who are suffering because of either pastoral neglect, either the pastor won't preach the word, or the weight of a completely insincere, hypocritical ministry. We are called to help those who face this, watching ourselves for pride, lest we end up becoming the same thing. So even in this state, did Jesus just write them off? He is so gracious. He is so merciful. Can he call that which is dead back to life? You know the answer to that. What does he tell them next? Listen to verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you received and heard, hold fast, and repent. Now, what is he telling the church to do? The question is, what did they receive, and how did they hear? Well, there's no doubt they heard the gospel. I mean, this is what forms churches. Remember, Paul said this to the church in Philippi. He says, I thank the Lord for your gospel fellowship for the first day until now. When Sardis formed, it was on that basis. The message, we always form our churches. The reason we gather is because we have a message. It's a message that has united us together. It's a message that has broke down all the barriers. And so a church that forms in any sort of honoring way, any sort of relevant way, has come together because of the gospel, the good news of salvation, because they've been called out of darkness into light, and they have a fellowship in that gospel. There's a different kind of brotherhood in the gospel. Now, Sardis has left this. Being filled with hypocrisy, they become a dead church, even though outwardly they have the best name in town, best programs, best stuff going on. They were dead. So what was Jesus saying? Was he telling Sardis, you better get back to the gospel? Absolutely. He's telling them, get back to what binds you together. But that's not all of what he's saying. He wanted them to think about how they were able to hear that message. If I asked you today, how are you able, or how were you when you first came to Christ, how were you able to hear the word? Would anyone dare say, well, I did it because I just opened up my own sinful heart? No, of course not. We know that the Lord opens the heart, like Lydia, to hear the things and listen to the things which are said. How does he do that? How does he open the heart to heed the things spoken? Well, how about Ephesians 2? In him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's Ephesians 1, actually. What did Peter say in Acts 2? Having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you as a church to remember where your life came from. What did you receive? You received the Spirit who enabled you to hear. This is what Jesus began with. He began with this letter speaking of that he has the sevenfold Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in all of his life-giving power. What Jesus was saying is, you must repent and look again to the Spirit to give your church life. And then he warns them, if they will not wake up, he says, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know when I am coming. That was a threat to put an end to the church. You know, if a church is dead, what good is it? You ever seen how many churches come and go? You know, we're in a real fatty culture, and you got some churches that are on top today because they're just marketing the best, but tomorrow they're gone. And the point is that Jesus often pulls the plug on churches. If they are not ministering in the power of the Spirit, and again, the power of the Spirit is not anything how we define it today. It's a word and sacrament ministry. It's a means ministry that Jesus has defined for us in his word. When the Holy Spirit is not being honored and his means are not being put into practice, the Lord says, I can put an end to your church. You know, twice the city of Sardis was taken because they didn't watch. Once to the Persians and the other to Antiochus the Great. Jesus is saying, what good are you if, as a church, you will not fulfill the mission that I have for you? Jesus was reminding them that in their own power, they can't do it. But as they turn, humble themselves, and look to him, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has the power to revitalize their church. You know, we should always pray this in the church. You should always pray for your church, where you are, that your church would be filled with the Holy Spirit as a church. It's the Holy Spirit that breathes life into our formal worship and who can animate our dead works until they pulsate with life. He can rescue a dying church and make it a living force in the community. Let him once fill us with his vital presence, as one pastor said, and our work, worship, and witness will be marvelously transformed. Isn't it just true? The Word of God tells us that we must pray in the Spirit, we must preach in the Spirit, we worship in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. Everything about life is about the Holy Spirit. A stale church can be refreshed by him. A sleepy church can be awakened by him. A weak church strengthened. A dead church made alive. The Spirit makes our love to be without masks. Isn't that beautiful? We, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can serve in sincerity and truth. Jesus is saying, go back and consider who gives life. Repent and look to him, and he will revitalize your church. Will all the churches listen to this? Will we stop being superficial and quit looking at external things and begin to look at what Jesus is saying about the church? Jesus says in verse 5, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." How do we overcome? The question is, who covers us, dear listener, with rich white robes or garments? Well, that's only Jesus. You know what he's doing here? He's encouraging a dead church, of which there are many. Verse 4, he says, "There are many in their church who already are in white and who walk in white, for they are worthy." We're only worthy in Jesus Christ. He was assuring this church that as they look to him, believe in him for life, they can be absolutely assured that they will not be blotted out of the book of life. That is an amazing statement, isn't it? It's said positively. What that means is we can never be blotted out from his record because of what Christ has done, his book, because we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And then Jesus says, "And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." It's a perfect profession, isn't it? Jesus said throughout his ministry, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father. Whoever denies me, I will deny him." This kind of stand costs us today. When that confession is done in sincerity, when our confession is in sincerity, when our work in the church is in sincerity and not a facade, not hypocritical, the Lord just promised us something. Not only are we justified, but he gave us an assurance. "Nothing can take that life from you, and I will," says Jesus, "confess you on that day." So until then, you know, we should remember as a church to look to Jesus Christ, who has the sevenfold Spirit, who is able to revitalize us as a church, that we could fulfill the purpose he has for us in declaring his name in sincerity to the ends of the earth. So remember what I said at the beginning of this week. I was going through the phone book, and it was interesting to see how churches define themselves. One church said, "Casual and welcoming, modern music, a sermon you can understand, kid and teen friendly." Another said, "Home of the old time religion." Another said, "The friendliest church in town." Another said, "A reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome all people without regard to gender, ethnicity, race, economic, social status, or sexual orientation." "Dynamic worship," said another. "We're a spirit-filled church," said another. "A life-giving congregation." Everyone today is trying to communicate to everyone that they have life. I tell you, there's only one who gives life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit. God looks on the inward. Man looks on the outward. We need to be discerning today and rightly divide the word of truth and test the spirits to see whether they be of God. A church that is ministering the gospel faithful, a church that is alive, is one by the Spirit who cares about the souls of the people, who's making known the riches of Christ with the goal that every last one who hears would be brought into glory and be saved in the great day of salvation. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We are a listener-supported program. We encourage your prayerful and financial support. Write us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.